Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save, fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I have to begin today's show with an apology. I don't do that a lot, but I have to apologize today. And I have to apologize to one of our Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. Yesterday, and for those of you that maybe only listen to the podcast or the radio show, you may not realize, or if you only watch a portion of the video show, once the regular broadcast goes off the air, we kind of hang out on the air and take some comments for a while and just kind of, in kind of a low-key way, just have a little bit of a chat about Georgia football. And a guy popped into the comment section yesterday, and I apologize for not remembering his name because this is the person to which I owe an apology. He came in the comment section yesterday and said, "BA, what do you think about national radio host Colin Cowherd predicting Tennessee to win the SEC and go to the college football playoff?" And I have to say that I immediately dismissed the commenter as trying to troll me. I thought he was trying to draw me off sides. Connor Riley, one of our Dog Nation Daily producers, I think Connor was very much kind of the same way, at first thinking that, you know, this guy is just mocking us. He's trying to get us to go down some road. He's trying to, you know, confuse us. Well, come to find out, this is exactly what happened. Come to find out, you know, when I first heard this, it's almost like I was, you remember Al Michaels back during the OJ thing when the Howard Stern prank caller called into CNN and he's like, "That's a totally farcical call." That's what I kind of was yesterday when the commenter said to me that Colin Cowherd, the radio host, had predicted Tennessee to make the college football playoff. I said, "That's a farcical call. That's not real. That didn't happen. That's not a real thing." But come to find out, based on some of the stuff that I've seen on Twitter here over the last 24 hours or so, come to find out, indeed, the national radio host has not only picked the Vols to, I guess, beat Georgia, I'm assuming here, but also topple Alabama, go to the college football playoff as the SEC champion. Here is a little taste of this, which I found on Twitter this morning from the Cowherd Show, which I'm presuming was yesterday. Here's Colin Cowherd.
"You're not going to believe this. Alabama does not make the Final Four playoff. Schedule really, really tough. The toughest schedule Nick Saban has ever had.
Number four.
My surprise team in the country is Tennessee. Schedule easy early and easy late. Between workable schedule, returning starting quarterback, momentum and returning starters, Tennessee will play in the Final Four."
So here's my question. And there's a lot about technology that I don't completely understand. Y'all, for those of you who are longtime listeners or viewers, you know I'm sometimes a little technophobic a little bit. Is this a deep fake? Is this computer generated voice? I saw one of these with Mark Zuckerberg the other day, the Facebook founder, where, you know, he was supposedly touting the merits of some company or whatever, and it was a deep fake. It was pretend. It wasn't really his voice, and yet it sounded just like his voice. Is this a deep fake of Colin Cowherd's voice saying that Tennessee's going to win the college football or go to the college football playoff, going to win the SEC? Because the reason why I asked that is because, you know, once again, you know, we do comment sections. We talk with Georgia fans all the time. I've kind of tried to make the case for Tennessee maybe making a bowl this year. I've essentially been shouted out of the room for even saying they may go 7-5 or maybe go 8-4. I for the most part, by Georgia fans, been shouted out of the room for doing that. And this bozo on national radio has got Tennessee going to the college football playoff. It almost seems too bizarre to even imagine. It almost seems just too fake to even be real, and yet apparently it is real. And for the most part, Georgia fans will just kind of laugh this off. They'll say, you know, this guy clearly has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, I do think the returning talent in Tennessee brings back more than like 80% of its total production on defense and its, you know, yards and production and offense, and that's generally a sign for kind of an improved season. But there's a long stretch from, hey, Tennessee's going to be improved, to Tennessee's going to go to the college football playoff, and obviously Colin Cowherd has kind of put himself on an island by saying that. And as I said before, most Georgia fans are kind of just going to kind of laugh this off. However, you know what makes this even funnier? And so help me, I almost, I mean, you know, mind blown. My mind was almost completely blown this morning when I figured this out, because once I realized that this was real, people were kind of, you know, sharing and talking about this on Twitter, I said, well, I got to find this audio. I've got to play this audio on the show today. The Dog Nation Daily audience will get a big kick out of this. Everybody will think this is really funny and kind of laugh about it. So I search in Google. I put in Colin Cowherd, Tennessee college football playoff prediction. Because I wanted to be able to find the audio that y'all were talking to me about and be able to share that for the rest of the audience, most of which probably didn't hear Cowherd say this on his radio program. So you know what I found out? In addition to finding the audio that I just played, the first piece of audio I found on this, I'm listening to it, and he's kind of rolling through his top 10. And at one point in time, he gets to like Iowa and Florida State. And I'm thinking, wait, that's a bizarre top 10. You know what I realized? This isn't the first time he's picked Tennessee to go to the college football playoff. Go back to 2016. He did the same thing. In fact, here is the audio proof of that very point. Take a listen to this.
Alabama 5.
Number 4.
My surprise team in the country is Tennessee. Schedule easy early and easy late. They get to host Alabama. Lot of momentum. They'll be favored in every game except Alabama, and I've checked. It's a 1.5-point spread. Quarterback Josh Dobbs, returning starter, 15 TDs, also ran for 11, 60% completion rate. Returning starters, massive, 9 on offense, 8 on defense, all sorts of veteran upper-class NFL bodies.
Yo, that's not the same clip played twice. That's just essentially the same opinion now for the second time in, what, the last 3 years? That's insane. I mean, talk to a Tennessee fan about the span of time from 2016 up until now in 2019. It has been so wretched and bad for Tennessee that they're essentially like a catatonic state. I mean, right? I mean, you find a Tennessee fan, they're kind of curled up in the fetal position. They don't want to talk about their team because of what they've been through over the last few years. And Colin Cowherd, the national radio host, is on the record having predicted Tennessee to make the playoff in two of those years. Now, listen, we all make opinions. We all, you know, kind of give out stuff, and a lot of our hot takes end up not being true. The old saying goes, those in glass houses can throw stones. I am literally kind of in a glass house here. Our studio is almost completely made of glass. So clearly, you can go back and find lots of audio of me over the years where I've made some pretty wild predictions. But I feel like Colin Cowherd for picking Tennessee to make the playoff in two of the last, what, three seasons, essentially, is as wrong as anyone's ever been. As anyone's ever been on the radio, as anyone's ever been on the internet. And I kind of thought Georgia fans might get a little bit of a kick out of that today. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger, and glad to have you with us, no matter how you get to us, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon as well, and Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com, and as I said before, we're proudly brought to you today by Kroger. You know, Kroger's biggest sale of the season's going on right now, patio sets and grills, summer housewares, toys, sporting goods, it's all there. You can actually save up to 50%, so you got to get to your local Kroger to find out more about that. Also, I mentioned DogNation.com before. I hope you'll go to DogNation.com and find out more about Dog Nation Days of Summer. Our next big Dog Nation Days of Summer event comes up on Thursday, August 1st. Now, many of you have been heeding my response. You know that today, and I hate to be this way, but I literally cannot get any more leniency from my bosses on this. There is a cutoff for the VIP in terms of the rooms that can be booked. We were initially supposed to have 20. We've blown past 20. We've sold way more than 20 rooms for this, and everyone who was a part of the first 20 was supposed to be able to get the access to the VIP reception. We are doing that, but I was also able to get a little extra grace extended, which means that anyone who kind of signed up this week could also be included in the VIP. That's a reception that's at 5 p.m., which is an hour before the big event. That night starts at 6. There's a VIP gift associated with this. It's personalized. It's really, really cool. And all of that is kind of going along the lines of being a VIP. But as I said before, I've been telling you this all week long, the cutoff for this is today. After today, we can sell no more VIP rooms. We can still sell you a room, but we cannot get you in the VIP reception at 5 p.m. We cannot get you the personalized VIP gift. We can't do those things for you. So today is the cutoff for that. Now, the good news is, though, is for at least one more person and guest, I guess, there is going to be a chance of being the VIP, because if you go to dognation.com as well, there is a link to enter for your chance to win our VIP giveaway. The stay courtesy of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. That's going to be ongoing, so please go get registered for your chance to win if you have not done so already. And if you're just kind of in the North Georgia Mountains area there near Towns County, we're there on Thursday, August 1st. This is also a great thing for you to drive over and be a part of. The event itself is open to the public at 6 p.m., whether you're staying at the hotel or not. It's just going to be an incredible time, and I cannot wait to share it with so many of you. There's still a couple spots left, I think, to play golf with us on Friday. DogNationHelp@gmail.com. I'll say that once again. DogNationHelp@gmail.com is an email address you can go to find out more information about that. It's just going to be a great time. Dog Nation Days of Summer coming up on Thursday, August 1st. With all that said, before we talk to Jeff Sintel, which we do each and every Friday, let's go around the doghouse here today, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, our good friends. And I want to talk about a couple of Georgia running backs for a moment, because I have seen a couple of fun pieces of video involving these two guys in the last 24 hours. You may have seen the Zamir White video that popped up at DogNation.com yesterday. Boy, you love to see this from White. And I've joked a lot about how a lot of these workout videos we've seen from Zamir thus far this offseason have, for the most part, been upper body type things. Also nice to see James Cook kind of hanging out in that video there too. But in that video you just saw there, at least for those of you watching on video, White with the two footballs in his hand running in the sand. And I kind of joked with Connor Riley off the air yesterday of, you know, thinking back to Robert Edwards and how Edwards, you know, suffered his very serious injury that shortened his NFL career. Ooh, do you really want to see Zamir running in the sand right there? Obviously, that is a way to strengthen those appendages and get that torque and turn on your knee there. But it's still the kind of thing when you think back to the sand and Robert Edwards, you kind of think about Zamir in that same spot there. But nonetheless, the bigger, more important point is it is great to see Zamir White kind of on his way back to full health, and seeing White in that video really reminds us of, speaking of Robert Edwards, something that he had said on Dog Nation Daily going back to spring practice, having a chance to have been at practice, observe what went on there, hearing and talking to some of the Georgia training staff. He was already feeling pretty good then about the progress that White was making towards a healthy return. This video seems to punctuate well what Robert Edwards has already told us.
Talking to Rob Corson, he's right on target of being ready for the season. He's strong. Everything looks bright for him. So I think he's just excited to have an opportunity to get out on the field. Right now, he's just doing a few things during individual drills, no real contact. But just to be a part of the drill, a part of his group, I think he's excited and he's looking forward to the season.
I obviously don't know what it's like to be an athlete like Zamir White, nor do I know what it's like to come and recover from an injury the way that White is right now, but I at least have the assumption that your mindset, your psychological state is almost as important as your physical condition. Your willingness to push through the pain and push through the hard work to get to where you want to be, and getting that psyche in the right place would seem to be a big part of all of this. And that also kind of harkens back to Robert Edwards, who's apparently able to kind of instill some words of encouragement to Zamir White along this way. Here's one great former Georgia running back talking about his influence on what might be a future great Georgia running back. Obviously, you'll love this.
Now, I had an opportunity to talk to Zamir last year when the injury occurred. He was a little down, but I think right now, just seeing the other day talking to him, he's excited. He's enjoying the process.
Yeah, listen, so I think that's great stuff to be able to see. However, not to be outdone by that, really good video of Zamir White working and looking to be pretty healthy. I also saw a pretty cool video shared by a personal trainer of Georgia running back DeAndre Swift, who's not recovering from an injury, although he is trying to show off a full season's worth of 100% full health, which he may not have had in 2018. He's working, apparently, according to this video, just as hard and showing off some really good skills there as well. So it feels, I think, Georgia fans with a sense of pride to know that the running back core, as talented as is also taking this offseason very seriously when it comes to strength and conditioning and being in top flight condition when the practices begin later on this month. And for DeAndre Swift, we know what could be at stake here. For him, already one of the most highly regarded running backs in all of college football, there is a chance that all this work during the summer could pay off for him to the tune of a trip to the Downtown Athletic Club and maybe a spot as a Heisman finalist. Once this season's done, that idea is not the kind of thing that DeAndre Swift necessarily shies away from. He'd obviously love to be in that kind of consideration and also pays homage to his team as well. Here's what he told Mike Griffith about that at the end of last season.
I mean, always growing up, yeah, seeing people like Mark Ingram, one of the backs I watched when I was young. But next season, yeah, I would like to be on the Heisman list, most definitely. Who wouldn't be? You know what I'm saying? So just this offseason, I'm going to work. So this team, I think next year we can do whatever we want to do if we put our minds to it.
I'm old enough to remember the corny joke about someone asked, how do you get to Carnegie Hall, the famous concert hall in New York City? And the joke was, practice, practice, practice. I think you just heard a version of that from DeAndre Swift, too. How do you get to the Downtown Athletic Club? How do you get to New York City as a Heisman finalist? You heard him say it with his own words. Work, work, work. That's what he said he was going to do. The video we just played shows that he's been a man of his word, and Zamir White is right there with him, which is a great thing to be able to see. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Meriwether and Tharp right now, and let's face it, you know, the divorce process can be scary and confusing. You know, you got questions, and not just about you, but your family's future as well, and Meriwether and Tharp believes that no one should have to go through this alone. Meriwether and Tharp has done this thousands of times, been through the divorce process, helped people just like you guide and navigate this process. It can be a chaotic thing. However, with Meriwether and Tharp on your side, they will make sense of all of this and kind of make you whole again and get your family back whole again as well. The strategies and recommendations they can provide are truly important. You need this kind of ally on your side. So please go to theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com and find out more about Meriwether and Tharp. All right, great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, no more fun thing to do on a Friday than talk to Jeff Sintel, get kind of an update on everything that's going on in the world of UGA recruiting. And boy, it seems like still stemming a lot of this from the opening, not all the recruiting news coming out of Frisco, Texas, but still a lot of it. That's kind of the epicenter for the recruiting news, and the reverberations of that continue here even up to this day, almost a full week after the conclusion of all that. Jeff, thanks for helping us stay on top of it all, and we appreciate you being with us here on Dog Nation Daily today.
Hey, man. Brandon, good morning, sir. Good morning, Dog Nation. And this is what's known as a slow time and a dead period in this business, and it certainly doesn't feel like
it. No, it does not. The Georgia beat doesn't seem to provide a whole lot of those slow times or dead periods. And for Georgia this week, there was a little bit of a, I guess you'd say, bad news, as four-star offensive lineman Andrew Rame chose Oklahoma over Georgia, and Michigan too, I guess, in terms of his stated finalists. You had a really interesting conversation with Rame in the aftermath of the choice to, I guess, recommit to the Sooners. I thought he gave you some interesting quotes. To kind of just get this conversation started, what was your overall takeaway on what Rame had to say, and why it was that Rame chose to stay at home as opposed to maybe going to play with Sam Pittman, which at one point in time it seemed like he was very eager to do?
Yeah, I think this was I'll just quote Rame directly on this to kind of set the scene for it. He said, matter-of-factly to me, there were about 2 weeks where he was sure he was going to go to Georgia. And he loved Georgia. He loved Sam Pittman. But, you know, this is a recruiting race that, for him, he said he's dreamed of 18 years of being in that uniform. And this is a case, even with the mighty recruiting prowess of Coach Pittman, Oklahoma had a 17-and-a-half-year head start, a 17-year head start on Georgia and Pittman with all this recruiting. And this was made very close in the end, and Georgia actually overtook Andrew Rame for a good period there. It was right around 1st of June, right when he was taking his official visits and unofficial visits. And it essentially came down to he got back home and he spent some time with his family. One of the more impressive aspects of the Andrew Rame story is he has a younger brother who's autistic that means a great deal to him in his world. And he spent some time with his grandparents. And there was one account of his decision timeline where he said he just was at his grandparents' house. He was alone. He was by a lake or on a lake. And it just came to him that he needed to go to Oklahoma, and that's where he needed to be. And for folks that wonder about how hard it is to pull players out of these states, as good as Sam Pittman's reputation and resume is for offensive linemen, I think Oklahoma's offensive line coach might be right there with him, or number two or number three in those offensive line teacher resume and recruiter rankings. And I think that, plus the family aspect and the longtime dream was just too much to overcome for Georgia here.
So the question I asked openly on the show the other day in the aftermath of the Rame news, and ultimately, you know, this is not certainly among the more catastrophic losses that we've covered on Dog Nation Daily in terms of a recruit choosing UGA over, I'm sorry, another program over UGA. This is not, you know, it's a recruiting loss. Georgia took an L here, but it's not the worst L the Dogs have taken in recruiting, not by a long shot. And yet it does still lead me to some curiosity of, when Georgia goes in hard on a player that chooses to stay at home, in this case Andrew Rame, it was John Emery Jr. a year ago, is there anything lost because of that? Because let's face it, time and energy and resources are not infinite. I mean, they're finite. Choosing to spend time on something is taking away from time you could spend on something else. Choosing to kind of go down the road with Andrew Rame, work hard to take the silver medal in that recruitment, that's less time than you have a chance to spend with Cedric Von Prawn, or less time than you could have been spending with a guy like Paris Johnson Jr. Had Georgia refocused its priorities, is there a chance that it maybe could have gotten in with another offensive lineman in a little more cozy fashion, in a little bit better way? In other words, what does Georgia lose when it goes so far down the road with a player like this that ultimately decides just to stay at home?
Brandon, I don't think that's the case. I think Georgia had identified about 7 or 8 young men that they feel could play the type of upper echelon offensive line football that the University of Georgia, and let's just call it the Great Wall, requires. You had to include Miles Hinton in that group at one time. You also have to include Andrew Rame in that group at one time. Akiola Ogunbi was in that group. I don't think Georgia lost anything, because there was the time when they were hard and heavy in on Paris Johnson, and then he liked Georgia, almost was feeling good enough to pull the trigger with Georgia for a while, and then that kind of dissolved a little bit. And then you see Joshua Braun come into the mix. It really started, Brandon, Broderick Jones. Sam Pittman, as everybody out here knows, likes to work ahead in class, likes to work early, likes to finish his work in the summer prior to when the season starts. So Broderick Jones, Tate Ratliff, those guys came together, and then it was Joshua Braun, Paris Johnson, Akiola Ogunbi. Those guys were all kind of crystallizing right around G-Day, and Braun commitment happens. And I think really Cedric Von Prawn was right in the mix the whole time with that top group of guys. And I don't think Georgia has lost much of anything by investing into Andrew Rame, particularly given the investment that it could have yielded had he stuck to his guns and remained at Georgia, remained feeling like he was going to go to Georgia in the long game.
But I'll go back to Emery Jr. from a year ago, and it could very well be that the answer you're giving is the correct answer. I certainly don't have enough facts to dispute it, and yet, you know, after Georgia lost out on Emery, who chose to stay in Louisiana, play for LSU, it's the same kind of, well, shucks, it's hard to pull a guy out of Louisiana. And yet you're left to wonder, what if Georgia had spent all that time focusing on Trey Sanders? Could that recruitment have turned out differently? Jeff, maybe it's not, and maybe, you know, that there's enough time, room, and resources to kind of go after all these guys equally. But that's, you know, it seems like the word priority means what it means, which is choosing to put one thing in front is choosing to put other things in the back burner. And, you know, in the case of Trey Sanders a year ago, it almost seems like a similar kind of recruitment.
Well, you know, Brandon, what comes to mind here on that topic is, you know, you meet people in life that are wonderful people, but there's sometimes people that can find the dark lining in the silver cloud. And it always interests me how folks who follow this recruiting stuff so passionately, that they sit there and they go, it's going to be awful hard to pull this kid out of LSU, or awful hard to pull this kid out of Louisiana or Oklahoma. And yet when someone comes into the state of Georgia trying to, you know, rip through those borders and come away with a recruit that Georgia wants, it's not the same feeling of, oh, it's going to be hard for anybody to pull them away from Georgia by that same parameters of the way they worry and have the anxiety for out-of-state schools. I think simply with Georgia and that Emory connection you were making right there, it's very easy to decipher. They go after the best guys. They go after the guys that they feel are at the top of the board. And it was really an Emery and Sanders push for the longest time there in that class. And when Emery dissolved and it became other backs, it went to Sanders. It went to Noah Kane. Everybody remembers Ty Davis in that class as well. They've really got about four or five names at the board, much like the running back recruiting this year, where they don't want to dip any farther than that because they don't want to bring in a player that's not going to play in Athens for two seasons.
Mentioned a moment ago, we've had some technical difficulties on Facebook. We are now broadcasting live, Dog Nation Daily, on Facebook now. So for those of you who just kind of saw this video pop into your feed, we apologize. Some days you just have some gremlins in the machine, and today on Facebook was one of those. We try to get the word out that we were live on Twitter and YouTube, and obviously radio and podcast unaffected by all of this. But for those of you just checking in for the first time today on Facebook, we appreciate you being with us. We're sorry we were late for you, but we're glad you're with us right on time for right now. Good to have you as part of the program. Let me stay with running back for a moment, Jeff, which we're just kind of talking about, and talk about one of the really fun pieces that you've had at DogNation.com over the last few days. Boy, I like the momentum that's building right now, with seemingly building, at least in my mind, with Georgia and Tank Bigsby. And I love the reaction that Georgia fans give to all of this when you see Bigsby kind of mentioned in Georgia circles. It seems like there's a little bit of a relationship between he and another back that Georgia fans hope to see a part of the mix here, and that's the five-star Kendall Milton. And obviously that's not the only running back that that Milton's talking to, but boy, it just seems like something's kind of going on right now between Georgia and Bigsby. Am I reading too much into all this?
No, to me, this seemed like a time, especially from everything that you're hearing, where Tank Bigsby's name becomes something that should show up on the pages of DogNation.com. And maybe he was one of those guys that didn't show up at the top of the board and wasn't the guys that it seemed like the staff was making a priority for. But you're starting to hear Tank Bigsby's name a lot more now, and Tank Bigsby wants to have his decision done before the start of his senior year. And it's almost becoming go time. I remember talking to Tank months ago, back in January, and he wanted to have his decision done prior to his senior year as well. And you see all these backs, and you know, we've heard this dialogue for forever now, how top guys, Zachary Evans, Kendall Milton, Marshawn Lloyd, Tank Bigsby now, Seth McGowan, Jace McClellan, DeMarcus Bowman, they've all thought about playing together, reducing the tread on the tires, and then making sure that you know, everyone would have a long and fruitful professional career after maybe 400 carries in the SEC or Big 10 or Big 12 or wherever these guys might go. And it seemed to me Kendall Milton was watching. It seemed to me like Kendall Milton was doing a lot of watching and evaluating and scouting about which backs he would want to play with whenever he has his decision. And where he knows where he wants to go as well.
It also seems, Jeff, and it's just hard not to notice this, that the Bigsby momentum seems to be building around the same time we're hearing Zachary Evans in the state of Texas mentioned a lot more in the same sentence. Reported visits to Texas A&M, reported unofficial visits to Texas here within the last month or so. It seems hard to imagine those stories aren't somehow connected. Is that fair or unfair in your mind?
I mean, everybody just looks at that Zachary Evans thing as a marathon. I won't even use the cliche 15-round fight, because that would be doing a little bit disservice, because marathons take 6 and 7 hours, not just, 15-round fights. But everybody knows this will be a contested recruitment. Those same feelings of anxiety about how hard it would be to pull a young man out of Texas would apply here as it did in Oklahoma and the state of Louisiana as well. So Evans is a guy, it seems, when he brings those Texas schools back into the mix, his recruiting chore and the chore of landing him is going to be something that extends way into November and December. And the tricky part for his staff is to decide whether we feel good enough about this guy in our system and where his place in our class would be and where his timeline might be to go ahead and maybe hit the cap and maybe drop out of that Zachary Evans marathon, triathlon even, in order to kind of fit the two running backs in the class to fill the needs that Georgia will have in its 2020 board.
This is just gossip, so I apologize for even bringing this into our discussion, but there's been a lot of message board chatter about Zachary Evans and maybe what went on in Alabama and maybe kind of that relationship souring, not just Evans liking the Texas schools, but maybe kind of finding a reason not to like Alabama. Do you have any reason to believe that that's true, or is that just the kind of thing that fans like to talk about?
Brandon, I think there's online chatter, there's gossip. We try to we try to maintain a modicum of dignity in our reporting at times. Sometimes people get on me about, did you ask him about the girlfriend? Did you ask him about the mother-in-law that wants to relocate and be a pharmacist in the South? I have a line of professional standard where I will not go total TMZ on everyone with stuff like that, sir.
Well, listen, I understand. That's certainly fair. Let me go back to something that is more on the record, and that's the terrific conversation that you've been able to have with Kendall Milton. Part two of that interview is available at dognation.com right now. Milton kind of gets into a lot of things, and you know, pretty clearly my takeaway on some of this is, for a California guy, and Georgia's not the only school that provides this, but that super intensity of SEC football, Milton and his family, they do kind of seem to like that a little bit. And I think that, you know, having grown up in California, they kind of know the difference in how college football is treated in the two regions of the country. And one way or another, one of the things that's pulling Milton out of California to me would seem to be that magnetism towards a place where college football is just treated more seriously. Do you get the same kind of vibe from Milton that he kind of likes the, for lack of a better, you know, phrase, the passion that SEC fans kind of show, UGA fans in this case included?
Yeah, this is a young man in that story. I must have written 15 stories about him so far by now, and probably even more than that on the message boards. But the thing that impresses me about his walk is very, very deliberate. Lots of guys that are on the Georgia team right now can say, oh, I went to Auburn 12 times, I went to Georgia 8 times, I went to Tennessee 5, I went to Clemson 6. This has been a very deliberate pace for him. He had a top 10 a year ago, and then he announced his top 4, I believe mid-May. And then he busts off 4 official visits in about 21 days of June, and just goes about it. You know, one of the most striking things, Brendan, about that piece to me is he said he's only visited, now he had a brother that played at Fresno State, so that doesn't apply to Fresno State, but he's only visited those 4 schools twice. So those are the only 4 schools he ever went to twice, one unofficial and one official visit. And, I mean, Brandon, 8 visits to your top 4, I mean, some kids get through 34 when they talk about the visits they've made to their top 4 schools, get into the 30s. And I think this is a recruitment that it's not about how good the jersey looks on him. And it's not about how good, how well these professional recruiters pitch their wares to him. I think it's all a matter of how he filters in and how he takes in what he sees and applies it to his goals in life. The things I was able to learn about him outside of his school stuff, the tattoos we've already written about on his forearm, which kind of are his compass in life to follow in the walk established by his family. But then you learn about he's got a Chinese script across both of his knees that is a bond to his brother as his brother's keeper when those boys were moving away from one another for the first time. And, you know, the other thing, he's got a plan, Brandon. At 40, he's got a 40 plan, not a 40-year plan. He's got a 40 plan where he wants to be a successful fellow like Brandon Adams when he's 40. And he wants to own car dealerships in his name, and that would sustain his livelihood even after he's handed the ball to the referee for the last time in his career after a touchdown. Just a very impressive, measured young man that is going through his recruiting process kind of the same way he would follow his guards on his favorite counter play, trying to bust free for Buchanan High School.
Yeah, I don't know Milton personally. I've only know about him when I've heard in his interviews with you. But, and this is not an attempt at flattery, but he certainly comes across the kind of guy that if car dealerships is the kind of thing he wants to own, if he wants to, put his money into that kind of investment, he seems like the kind of guy that would be able to pull that off. He has always come across to me as kind of a smart young man. I say that regardless of whatever school he chooses, he seems like a pretty sharp guy, which is kind of a nice thing, be able to appreciate about a recruit who is also a very good football player. I am curious, though, about one aspect of his recruitment. Once again, this is kind of true for whatever school he ultimately picks. Because he's taken so few visits, you know, we've always been of the mantra of, hey, you know, the visits end up being a clue about the decision. But because Milton has taken so few visits, are they less a part of his overall calculus for which school is best for him? Because, I mean, admittedly, if you only see something twice, there's a way to get the, incorrect favorable impression or incorrect, unfavorable impression because, you know, 2 times is just not a lot of time to devour you know, the entire story of what's going on. Has Milton had to use other things for his decision-making process more so than the typical recruit? Because I think for the typical recruit, boots on the ground on a campus ends up being an overwhelming factor. But for Milton, that almost could not be the case because he just hasn't really visited anywhere all that much.
Yeah, the thing to look at here is he's been brought up the right way. Let's use a Southern term here. Raise him right. Mom and Dad have done that. They've provided him the right structure. And Brandon, wherever he goes, he's going to move at least halfway across the country, whether that's Columbus, whether that's Baton Rouge, whether that's Tuscaloosa, or whether that's Athens, Georgia. He's going to move and separate from his family unit. And, you know, that's just, you know, he does come across as being very mature and very composed. And I think in this race for Kendall Milton, I think it's more an example of schools eliminating themselves and doing something that would disqualify them from the latter stages of this race rather than schools winning the race. Because I think it's all about his perception and his focus and his filter, and not what Dale McGee says or not what Nick Saban says or not what Ryan Day says, and definitely not what Coach Orgeron says. I mean, it even makes it even more of a mystery a little bit, because he's moving. He's got family close to all these locales. He has family in Louisiana. He has family in Columbus. He has family in and around the Atlanta area and also in Alabama. So a lot of these places, he's going to have friendly faces and some home-cooked meals and a place to kind of feel like he's with family, even when his immediate family is 2,400 miles away.
Yeah, Jeff, that's really well said. Really good coverage of all this, Milton included. That's a guy that people want to hear about, and you have certainly done your part to deliver that information to Georgia fans. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you being with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today. Hope you have a great weekend coming up, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again soon.
All right, guys, have yourself a good weekend, and hey, go out and have some, soak up some of that sunshine.
No doubt about that, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, great stuff from Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Love that recruiting conversation. Insight into Kendall Milton, insight into Tank Bigsby. You don't get much better than that from Jeff Sintel. He's got it all there for you. Of course, DogNation.com as well. And by the way, make sure you check this out at Forum. The website is forum.dognation.com. You can go there, and he's got his hurry-up intel where it's really become one of my favorite things to read, little bite-sized nuggets of really interesting recruiting stuff. Jeff is delivering that in a big way to the forum. The best part about that is it's totally free. It is high-quality information, completely free. Get it for yourself. forum.dognation.com. All right, let's do the SEC Through for a moment, and I apologize to our radio and podcast audience. This is going to be video only slightly just for a moment, and really, for the video, it's not going to be as funny on this show as it is for the guy who created that. Let me show this to you. A Florida State fan who's apparently got some video skills has kind of done the compilation of all the various decommits for the Gators. It's at Cinefunk Media on Twitter. Now, I can't play the song that he's got accompanying this because I'll get my hand slapped by Facebook or YouTube for this. But it's basically all the decommits. You see Tyreek Stevenson's name pop up there and all the transfers out of the Florida program. Is it Green Day that does Hope You Had the Time of Your Life? So have that song in your mind here as you see this locker room. And one by one, these still frame photos of all the guys that decommitted from Florida or transferred out of Florida or didn't qualify academically. One by one, they're all disappearing from the Florida locker room. This is one of the funniest things I've seen for a while. At Cinefunk Media on Twitter. Cinefunk is the guy's name. He is a Florida State fan. I'm going to put a link to this when I post the show to the podcast page of the worldfamousdognation.com. You see Chris Steele popping up there as a transfer. Just something about one by one, these guys slowly disappearing. It's just a really, really good, well-done thing, and it's obviously more of a jab from Florida State to its in-state rival, Florida, but for a Georgia fan, the enemy of my enemy is also my friend in this case. I'll adopt the Florida State guy here and say that's a pretty good job. You see the empty locker room after that's all over with. Dan Mullen shrugs his shoulders and says, to be continued. I thought that was funny. Not quite as funny as Colin Cowherd picking Tennessee to make the college football playoff twice since 2016. Not quite as funny as that, but still pretty funny nonetheless. Speaking of big nationally known broadcaster types, Tim Brando, the longtime play-by-play broadcaster, a big college football fan in addition to being a sports broadcaster, was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, and he predicted his top 10, which you don't really care about. The only thing about this that I thought was kind of interesting, I'll go through this kind of quickly. He's got Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Michigan 3, Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5, LSU 6, Texas 7, Nebraska 8. I don't know where Nebraska comes from. Oregon 9, and he's got the American Athletic Conference winner coming in at number 10 there. What you don't see on this list, no Florida Gators. And I think that's kind of interesting because we had Barrett Salih from CBS Sports on the show yesterday. We were talking about kind of the wide variety of opinions involving the Gators, whether it be the guy, I think it was Chip Patterson from CBS Sports, we quoted the other day, talking about how Florida's got the talent necessary, the talent needed to go out there and beat Georgia. Pete Futak, our buddy from College Football News, picks Florida to win the SEC East. If you're winning the East over Georgia this year, you're pretty clearly a top 10 team. Brando, though, and Barrett Salih yesterday, not really buying into that, doesn't seem like. And I've told you before, my kind of version of a Colin Cowherd-style hot take is every year we see a team ranked in the preseason top 10, because make no mistake about it, Brando doesn't include Florida, but they're going to be in both the coaches and AP preseason top 10, I believe almost for sure. Given that status, almost every single year, at least one team from the preseason top 10 is not ranked at the end of the year. My best bet to do that this year is Florida, for the reasons that I've been talking about virtually since January. So kind of interesting to see Tim Brando kind of, you know, following in on that same kind of thing. He doesn't even have Florida in his preseason top 10. So we'll keep cataloging these opinions as they start to come through. And then finally, one more SEC through story to get to, and it also involves Florida. And listen, I don't make fun of injuries. I don't mock those. David Reese, a pretty good-looking Florida prospect, does bang up his Achilles. That's a pretty serious injury for him, and a pretty serious injury for Florida when it comes to kind of a talented guy there in that regard. And as I said before, I'm not going to mock him for getting hurt. I'm not going to mock Florida for having an injured player getting hurt. But injuries are a part of the game, and this is one of the reasons why I think the skepticism of Florida kind of reigns in the way that it does. Other than Jake Fromm, and for the most part right now, everybody's kind of in a thin situation beyond its quarterback. But other than Jake Fromm, there is not a single injury that Georgia could suffer that would be catastrophic. There's just not. Georgia's got depth at virtually every single position. And there are guys you don't want to play without. You don't want to play without your big, beefy defensive tackle, Jordan Davis, for instance. You don't want to not have DeAndre Swift just because he's, you know, dazzling and spectacular and everything else. Obviously, Eric Stokes is your veteran cornerback. You don't want to lose him either. There are a lot of guys you wouldn't want to lose, and a lot of guys that would make for a little bit of a kind of an inconvenient period of time if you had to work somebody else in there. But Georgia does not have really any position, probably other than quarterback, where any single individual's injury would be catastrophic. For Florida, that's not necessarily the case. They have a pretty talented group of starters, especially on defense, but the depth has been is certainly worthy of being questioned. Jim McElwain was not a good recruiter. Dan Mullen thus far at Florida has not been a great recruiter. That's the roster that that Mullen's working with right now. Now, Mullen's probably doing a little bit better, especially as of late, than certainly McElwain did. And yet, even still, listen, when injuries come, there's going to be kind of a stress test, an attrition to your roster. And I don't know how well Florida's going to pass that test when it indeed comes. I don't like to see guys like David Reese dealing with an injury, because I don't like to see anybody in the SEC get hurt. And yet, for Florida, part of the reason why we don't like them on the field, forget how you feel about them as a rival, part of the reason we don't like them on the field is because we don't think that roster is in the kind of shape to compete with a team like Georgia, which has essentially put a elite, high-caliber recruit, virtually 1 through 85, on the entire roster. We'll see how it plays out on the field, but that's been our opinion since the season began. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, it's time now to do our Kroger kickoff, looking ahead to the weekend. You know, when you're thinking about getting your weekend started, going to Kroger for that, I think it's a great idea. Getting the stuff you need for your cookouts, or the stuff that you need to make that fun party go well, sitting on the porch enjoying a little lemonade or whatever beverage of choice you might have there. You can get all that at your local Kroger. And obviously, we kick off the weekend in style with Kroger here on Dog Nation Daily as well. We're at the time of year where there's seemingly less to look forward to, but that is starting to change, because one of the items on our Kroger kickoff for this week starts next week. How about SEC Media Days beginning on Monday? The Georgia contingent will be there on Tuesday. Dog Nation, including myself and Dog Nation Daily, will be there live on Tuesday to cover all of that. I guess this is as good a time as any to also start talking about some logistics and the schedule with that.
given whatever happens on Tuesday with when the Georgia coaches and players are kind of officially speaking, there's a pretty good chance that we'll have to end up doing Dog Nation Daily later on Tuesday. And I apologize for that. I know that's kind of a frustration maybe point for those of you who expect the show at the same time every single day. But for this one day, it may not make sense to do this right at the same time all these Georgia players are talking and Kirby Smart's talking, because a lot of the things they have to say will end up being the content for the show anyway. So I'm not ready to make that announcement officially yet because we've still got some logistical stuff to work through. But as it stands right now, we are looking at a pretty busy Tuesday that could push Dog Nation Daily a bit late that day. We'll be live on video one way or another from Hoover, Alabama, and I'm excited about that. And yet, the timing on some of this may be a little bit tricky, but we'll have Dog Nation Daily, you know, all the rest of the week, however that, you know, kind of comes, you know, beyond that. And by the way, it is now time to start getting very, very serious about Georgia Vanderbilt on August 31st as well. We're waiting the kind of the official date for when practice is going to begin for the Dogs. That should be coming out pretty soon, but we are not that far away. Inside 50 days now, am I doing the math right on that? It's exactly 50 today. Exactly 50 today in terms of the start of the upcoming season of the Georgia Bulldogs. That is not so bad. Season's going to be here before you know, and exciting to be able to share all of that with you here on Dog Nation Daily. By the way, speaking of Kroger, how about getting you covered from those summer road trips as well? I joke with you about this the other day. You know, when you go on vacation, when you have young kids, for those of you who haven't been through this yet, just trust me when I tell you that this is itself kind of its own chore, its own job. You got to keep your kids happy in the back seat so you can just kind of focus on the road and get to your destination. One of the great ways to do that is with some candy on sale at Kroger. How about 10 for $10 Swedish Fish, Sour Patch Kids, 2 for $3 Lifesaver Gummies, and 2 for $7 Hershey's Miniatures? That's a great thing. Just kind of toss that stuff back to your kids every 20, 30 minutes or whatever and keep them happy as you roll down the road. That'll get you to where you want to go on vacation, and you'll feel a lot happier and a lot better when you get there. Good stuff from our friends at Kroger. And as we get ready to wrap up Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today, did kind of a Florida-centric SEC through a moment ago, so it seems as good a time as any to remind you, 986 days. That is how long it has been since Florida is beating Georgia, those lousy, stinking Gators. That's our Gator Hater Updater. We love delivering that to you right here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Hope all of you are getting ready for a great weekend. I know we're excited about one of our last kind of weekends before it's dominated by football. We'll have football practices here coming up, as I said, really soon. Those weekends will be really fun. So I'm going to kind of enjoy one of the last non-football weekends we'll have here for kind of a while. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, speaking of SEC Media Days, I told you that we'll be here on Tuesday. Our buddy Mike Griffin, I think, is going to be there the entire week. So some of these programs have something to say about Georgia. Mike will have that for you at DogNation.com as well. So it's going to be busy. We're looking forward to next week. Looking forward to the entire season. I'll see you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger.